right, guys, we're at the Cosmopolitan Hoops and Hops. Wow, a lot going on here. Welcome to the Dave Chang Show, part of the Ringer Podcast Network, presented by Major Dome Media. If this seems surreal, it is. We're at Hoops and Hops at the Cosmopolitan Las Vegas, a casino I know very well. I have a restaurant here. We have Bong Bar. I think we're like another restaurant here.
You have another restaurant here.
I get blurry when I'm here. We're with Chris Ying, who I think is four or five drinks in already.
Yeah, I mean, counting last night, yeah, I can see carryover, yes.
And we have a guest today. The best way to talk about Jeff Ma is to search our podcast we did with Jeff Ma pre-pandemic. He is one of the most interesting men in the world. And if they were going to recast the Dos Equis man, in a multiverse, he is the Dos Equis man.
It's true.
Welcome, Jeff.
Thanks, Dave.
No, but this is also the culmination. Dave and I have been working up to this sports and food culture month, culminating with this episode. We are here in the Hoops and Hops for the
basketball tournament.
For the college basketball tournament with Jeff Ma, Vegas.
The one expert. That's not the NIT.
The one, yeah, the not. I wonder if we can say NIT.
It's the not-in tournament.
It's St. Patrick's Day. So if anybody's wondering, so St. Patrick's Day in the middle of the basketball tournament,
I'm wondering why you have a sports
betting and analytics podcast called Betting the Process or Bet the Process.
Bet the Process.
You are. I mean,
he's not dumb.
He's not dumb. He's the opposite of dumb.
Anyone that graduated from MIT actually stupid, like intelligence wise?
Depends what kind of intelligence.
Exactly.
Yeah, but like, I mean, there's like street smarts, empathy, all those skills.
No. We don't care about that.
Very like low real EQ. Smarts, yeah.
The stuff that you can measure.
I have a fraternity brother that I always say is the dumbest guy that ever graduated from MIT, and he's pretty smart.
So you've done data analysis for Microsoft, Twitter, 49ers,
yep.
Trailblazers,
yep.
ESPN, everybody. Yes. But most importantly, you're here because when we were thinking about who knows Vegas.
Right.
We played this a little bit last time we had dinner. What do you think the over-under is on number of times Jeff's been to Vegas?
Well, considering over the past 3 years, when you could start to travel again, I must have gotten a dozen text messages from Jeff. Dude, come on. Let's go to Vegas.
Everyone needs that devil on their left shoulder, right?
So do give me a quick.
I think in the past 3 years, he's been here at least 12 times.
Okay, 3 years, 12 times.
Yeah, that's handicapped by the pandemic. I think, you know, I'm 50 years old.
Yeah.
I've been to go to Vegas for 30 years.
Asian don't crack.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
Yeah. And roughly 20 to 30 times a year. So probably close to 700-800 times in my life.
That's pretty good.
There's a reason why he can only play games like craps. We can't talk about that.
You listen to the other podcasts, you'll understand why.
But the funniest thing is, this fucking guy, who's really smart, believes in science and logic and rational thought, actually loves luck, the idea of luck. He's talking about getting a first-time roller in craps.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Well, I mean, why do you play craps if you don't believe there's some level of luck, right? I mean, ultimately, you know, like, craps is a game where if you play, you're at about a 2% disadvantage, 3% disadvantage to the casino. You have to believe there's some level of luck that can get you past that. And one of the things that people always talk about are virgins, right? Virgin rollers, people who've never rolled before. And their first roll, they always do particularly well. But last night, we tried to prove that with science. And Jamie, Chris's wife, disproved it. So
she prepped out for a shot?
Yeah, pretty much.
She's a cooler. She's a cooler.
She seems a little coolerish. Yeah. So.
Well, when I play craps, I'm not using luck.
Right.
I'm trying to, like, activate telekinesis and move the dice with my mind.
Oh, it's not luck for you. It's pure skill, you're saying. Pure. I mean,
that's a much better way to go.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, they talk a lot about, like, you know, have you heard of the concept of advantage players? So advantage players, like, card counting is a type of advantage play, meaning, like, you can actually, you know, look at the cards and you count them, blah, 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 blah. advantage players are guys that come up with like real, like they can see the bottom card before the
Phil Ivey share.
Yeah, like that kind of stuff. And those guys can get 15, 20% edges, right? Card counting is only like a 2% edge. So it's like, that's, you know, if you can do telekinesis and can move the dice, that's much better than anything that
I've 100%.
Well, in order, I don't want people to catch on to what I'm doing. So I lose more than I win.
Right. That's a good
cover.
I did ask Jeff this last night. Does he have to fight the Asian gravitational force toward sort of superstition? And he said, absolutely not. When you're in a casino, do you give into your superstition actually, or do you fight the urge?
No, I turn into a fucking robot.
You actually do. I can shut it off.
I do. I get mad. I turn into a Vulcan with an addiction problem.
You're just cold, calculating, rational.
Full tilt.
Wow.
Yeah.
The other thing I was wondering, but look, okay. So like part of it, though, like part of superstition, part of like the whole thing with gambling is like you invent stories to make it more fun too, right? Like you bet the team you want, you bet your heart, you bet whatever. Craps is a game, is a social thing. I mean, you played craps last night. I was surprised because don't you technically have an edge if you play against the table?
No, you don't have an edge either way. The against the table is slightly better.
Yeah.
For sure. But
the payout is less.
Right. Okay. No.
It's like, probably like a little lower variance at the end of the day, but like generally they're equal, close to equal. And it's kind of just more fun for me at least, right? If you're a contrarian, right?
He knows I like betting against the table.
There were a couple people that showed up yesterday that saw that we were together and they wanted to come play craps with you. Because they also play Don't Pass,
yes.
And they felt like it'd be really fun to play Don't Pass with Dave. Chang.
Most people that do that are considered pricks.
Yeah.
Nobody likes that person, and I'm not here to make friends.
No. You know, it's funny because I'm generally a contrarian also, but I've never embraced betting.
The dark side.
Yeah, and it's like stupid because I probably should. Last night, one of the guys rolled up, and for about 30 minutes, probably there was like zero numbers or points made. It was just all. Number seven. So,
did you win any money?
I didn't gamble yesterday.
I was unable to show up yesterday because it's the running theme as I talk about is the extreme back pain that I'm in. So I was not able to make it. Basically have a broken back.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about that. But I wish I was here. Wish I was gambling. But I'm now wondering if I can't even gamble. I don't know how I'm going to do this. So I've asked for an electronic wheelchair buggy thing. So I can be one of those gamblers.
Yeah, there you go.
You're going to roll up to the thing.
Oh, yeah, fuck yeah.
I love it. I love it so much.
I also have to cook a dinner tomorrow at the Bellagio.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how I'm going to do. So we have Max and Jude coming in. We got to do a Chateau Margaux dinner. $5,000 a head.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. I don't know how I'm going to do that.
I ran into Jude and Max last night at Momofuku, and they're excited to do it. Max newly wed or about a year, so I hadn't seen those guys forever. They'll carry you.
You know that episode of Eastbound and Down where he takes all those pills, drugs, and he's like, work, drugs, work. That's what I feel like right now.
So the other thing is, so Jeff is, you're an expert in Vegas beyond the tables. Last night we had dinner at Momofuku at 6:30, and we were sort of reaching the end of dinner and trying to decide what to do next. And Jeff, you were like, "Well, for starters, we've done this all wrong. Nobody eats dinner in Vegas at 6:30."
No way.
Yeah, it was so early.
You fucked up your entire night.
So, explain that and like walk me through like how it is ideally supposed to actually happen.
I mean, typically you eat dinner at like 9, right? You probably go gamble a little bit pre dinner, have a cocktail. Like you meet up, like everyone's kind of straggling, mm-hmm. like in Vegas. And so like people kind of meet down at the casino from between 7 and 8. You have a couple cocktails. You have a 9 o'clock reservation that you hopefully push back a couple times because you got a hot run going on the craps tables and you don't want to leave. Finally, you go upstairs, you eat, and then you're at around 11:30, you finish dinner and then you go do something like either go gamble more or go to a club or whatever you're going to do.
Ideal group size to come to Vegas with?
It's either, honestly, 6 or like 24. Because what happens with the 24 breaks into two or three groups, which is fun, because then you're really like diversifying your bets in the casino. In, you know, some people might go to the club, some people might go to another kind of club.
Right.
And you're constantly keeping each other update, right? Yeah. Up to date of what's
this
going
is good.
On.
The 24
because you're
is
trying
good.
To actually maximize your fun.
Right.
So I'm a big fan of the 24 plus.
Because I love what you're saying about the 24, because 6 is a good number of people to be hanging out with at a single time.
6 is only half usually gamble.
That's what I'm saying. But it's 6 is a good amount of people to be hanging out with. But getting 6 people all aligned is difficult. 24, you can mix and match 6 at a time and go do things. I like the 24.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I was like, interesting to see where you're going with that. I think the big crews are good. And like the point that you make about, you always, the other thing about planning a Vegas trip is you do have to plan around people that gamble and don't gamble. Because if you have a bunch of people that don't gamble, they're just being bored out of their mind when you gamble.
But that's not necessarily true. The people that don't gamble may have other kinds of addictions.
Right. Got it.
They might be degenerates in other ways.
Got it.
So you really need them. They're like a real wild card.
So it's like representation for degeneracy.
And I'd also say it's really good to bring someone that doesn't gamble and is extremely responsible because they can act as the chaperone sometimes. Mm-hmm. Not as a tool, but as like, you can depend on that should something go awry.
Right.
I speak from not experience.
That makes a lot of sense.
So the group number ideal is 20, like a large group.
Should go explain all the things that I've seen and done in Las Vegas. I don't think that would be appropriate.
Are we allowed to say those words here? No, okay, good.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Vital Farms. No matter how you like your eggs scrambled, over easy, or sunny side up, the people at Vital Farms believe in one thing: keeping it bullshit free. That's why their pasture raised eggs come from hens who each have over 108 square feet of space to roam and forage all year round. So you can spend less time questioning your food and more time enjoying it. Look for Vital Farms in your grocery store and learn more at vitalfarms.com. Vital Farms, keeping it bullshit free.
I mean, the other thing is, there's this funny thing when like both of you guys are getting ready for a Vegas trip. I think there's a different preparation where you guys have the city. We were talking about this a little bit last night. You have Vegas dialed, like your Vegas dialed in. Yeah. You know the right person, how to do this, and do all this thing. Like, I don't think the average person does that, right? The average person,
we
come to the airport, we get lost trying to find whatever taxi line. We go to our hotel, we do our thing, we have our reservations. But like
you can get lost in a taxi, but you can, and you should, take an Uber.
Yes. I got lost trying to find my Uber.
Our co-sponsor.
Not sponsoring this episode, actually. So take a Lyft. Talk me through your process, Chang, of like, how does like this city dialed in for like, how are you dialed into Vegas?
There are layers, much like life, right? There are layers, and like New York City, in the sense of it's about getting access to doors. If you live in New York as long as I have, like I've been through I've been through many, many doors. Mm-hmm. Las Vegas has its different doors.
Right.
Ignorance is bliss. It's not a problem if you don't know those doors exist at all.
Right.
You may go through a door and be like, that's the last door. Wrong. There's so many fucking doors. And I don't know how to explain. I've seen a lot of fucking crazy shit here. I love this town. My wife fucking hates it. It's always a problem. But I'm always shocked at the amount of doors that you can have access to.
At this point, Jeff, like, are you still ever When was the last time you like realized there was a door you didn't know there was a door to? You were in Vegas. You said, "Holy shit, there's a door. I can get to this."
Oh yeah. I mean, I think you're always learning about new things you could do here and new ways you can short circuit the system, right? And ultimately, like, you know, there's restaurants, there's clubs, there's special clubs, there's all those things, and like, it's all about efficiency here, right? Like yesterday, we went and took a car to Wynn to go to Delilah to go check it out because I wanted them to see the show and experience the chicken fingers there. And one of the key things there is knowing like what entrance to get dropped off at. Otherwise, like you're walking, for him, it would have taken years like to get there at this point. So, but yeah, no, it's like those little short circuits and efficiency. And all, you know, a lot of it's about, you know, who you know, like you know, there's a back entrance to almost every casino. I mean, to every club. So there's a, you know, there's like back in the days when Omnia was a super hot club, like they would literally take us through a back way where you went through like kitchens and like, you know, backstage hallways, and then you'd enter Omnia in this like secret door. And I learned that only like probably 3 or 4 years ago, right?
So this is like a literal door that we didn't
Oh, I thought you were talking literal doors. No, I'm a very literal person. I thought you meant a literal door.
No, I meant literal doors.
So I was only thinking of doors.
Another door to me, like, okay, so Jeff was telling a story of, okay, we took a car to Wynn to go to Delilah's house, like, but a figurative door
that
you
took an Uber.
No. A figurative door was, hey, let's go get in the car. The rest of us following Master Ma, we're like, so should we call a car? Do we get in the taxi line? He just walked up to any of the black bars and said, hey, will you take us here and just get it? So we took a limousine from the Cosmopolitan to Wynn because Jeff just walked up.
Yeah, I just won like $3,000 playing craps. I have extra money at that point. Why do I care if this guy would want to start us $115? We don't have to wait in a line. We're in a limo. We can tell him to go wherever, like whichever direction we want.
Yeah.
Right? It's perfect, right? It just short circuits everything.
So two questions. Do you think, Chang, like of all the cities you've been to in the world, do you think Vegas has the most has the most opportunities to like wire it, to short circuit things, to figure out, to game the system?
I'm not a college basketball expert, but I will say that I think I'm a savant at casinos around the world. I've been to a lot. I want to say everyone. I've been to a lot of them.
Yeah.
Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere, doesn't matter. There's nothing like Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. Monaco sucks.
Monaco suck? Why does Monaco suck?
There's nothing fun there.
Do you agree or disagree that Monaco sucks?
It's just boring, right? Okay. It's slow.
A lot of Russians, you know.
It's like more formal.
Say no more.
There are a lot of casinos. Like, Singapore is great, but it's very controlled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very, very, very sterile.
The problem, honestly, with a lot of those, the Asia places, is they care about gambling too much.
It's their job.
Like it's just gambling. Whereas Vegas, you know, what really reinvented Vegas is when clubs and restaurants came here and it just became this place where you could do tons of different things, right?
Mm-hmm. And then you have casinos, like London has casinos, but the odds suck and it's really more of a private club and it's, you know, they're there, but they're not, you don't have the plethora of options to do shit,
yes.
Right? If you go to casinos around the world, you're there to actually just gamble.
Right.
And you don't have to come here to gamble.
Right. So, I mean, the other thing is, what I think is Vegas does very well, though, like speaking to like the doors and to like, I think what you're both saying, like ignorance is bliss. It's not a thing where you walk into any room and you say, well, there's the fancy door, there's the medium door, and I'm over here.
You don't know.
You don't know. You
almost no every idea. Casino has like four, like you talk about check-ins. You have the regular check-in. In that regular check-in, you have member club check-in, the black card member check-in, the mm-hmm. person that has the most points check-in, all within the normal check-in.
Right.
Then there's another door that says VIP mm-hmm. entrance.
Mm-hmm.
Little do those VIPs know that that's not actually the Uber VIP entrance.
Right. Here's a perfect example.
Yeah, here's a perfect example.
There's like three different
lounges. And then there's another VIP entrance
yeah.
for the real VIPs. But here's the thing. If you're a real, real VIP,
they meet you.
They meet you. They check you in. You're not, you don't see shit. Yeah. They put you in the street side tower, right, and you go.
See, that is the amazing thing. It's opaque between every layer. So the VIP doesn't know there's a super VIP.
If you
VIP.
Don't know, it's not a problem.
Yeah, that's the miracle of Vegas. That's the miracle of
it's
Vegas.
It's really a metaphor for life, right?
I mean, okay, but so the other thing that I don't really understand, what you also just said was they meet you, right? Jeff is a high roller. Dave, like, let's just, like, not mince words. These are, you have lived the high roller lives here. Like, I did not even understand the idea of a casino host. What is that?
They're your best friend.
What do they do? What is it?
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah. I mean, there's a, essentially paid by the casino at some level.
They're marketing executives.
They're marketing.
Yeah, casino marketing. Yeah.
Right.
That's the office they
just
work
like
in.
An assassin as a human resources professional.
There's a lot of different levels of them, right? But essentially what they do is they try to make sure that whatever you need, right, you get when you're here. So you get a limo from the airport, you get the room you want, you get the dinner reservations you want, you know, but they also want you to gamble,
okay,
right? And then there's like private hosts who literally make money the more you lose, right? They make money off your losses. So they are your best friend, but they're not your best friend,
right,
at times.
They're trying my to make only you... best friend I have in my life.
They're trying to keep you happy as you lose money so you'll continue to do so.
Very much so.
What is the high roller, what are the tiers of sports watching in Vegas? Like, what are the tiers of, like, highest possible experience to, like, your average? I mean, we're here, this is, you know, basically the Cosmo has built a gigantic, crazy secondary sports book here. People are paying a lot of money to be on this side. People are paying more money to be on this side. But, like, what are the ultimate tiers of this kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me at least, I like to watch sports at home, right? I like to like watch on my couch where like I can eat food. But like if you're coming to Vegas and doing something like this, this is pretty good because it's not that crowded. There's good food, there's drinks, you're sitting on a couch, right? I mean, but you don't, honestly, you come to Vegas to be in the mess, right? Mm-hmm. And you want to be in a sports book, a nice sports book. So like the Circa has an outdoor pool sports book that they call Stadium Swim. Like there's just all these different. The sportsbook down here is great. Like, you can just hang and be around people with a huge crowd. That's the whole point of coming to Vegas. I don't necessarily want to be, like, sequestered off when I'm watching games in Vegas. Unless I come with a bunch of my buddies. We want to go sit somewhere. You know, like the Emerald Agassi or whatever. He has, like, that thing over the Venetian stadium.
Yeah. I think it closed.
Oh, closed. All right. So, but that was a great experience. You know, like, there's those types of things that are good experience.
So, I mean, because we've been talking, like, for the past month, Jay and I have been talking just about just the pros and cons of live sports, watching sports at home, coming to a sports book, whatever. I mean, Chang, when you were
Vegas sports events live.
So this is my question.
Yeah, but listen, I've been in this room many times because we come here for the Super Bowl and the Cosmo has a great setup. This is my casino. It was my casino before I had a restaurant here. And I know a lot about this place. It's my home. Really is like a home to me. This place is awesome to watch sports, but it's less about watching and more about having a fun time with your friends, sports betting, all of these things. So if you're going to do something like this, it gives you the optionality to do a lot of different things, even within this room.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Is it live? Because we talked, when you were listening, sort of, Dave has like an unbelievable streak of luck when it comes to being at the right sporting event for crazy things happening.
You can also tell who's got VIP access as to when you go to T-Mobile. Is it T-Mobile Arena here? Yeah, T-Mobile. Who's closest to the ring?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Who's that person that's not a celebrity?
Right.
Well, that looks like a schlub.
You were almost killed by Khabib, so you were pretty close.
That whole thing's changed everything, right? The fact that they have so much live sporting events here now has changed everything with like the football stadium, like they're going to do the F1. Like, that's going to create a whole new class.
F1 here is going to be the biggest week of all time in Vegas. You'll be here.
Yeah. Yeah. We just made a big plan to come here last night. You're in on all of it. So
I have no choice. I think I got to cook my ass off that week.
Really?
I'm retired from cooking.
And yet.
But I have to cook when I'm here.
And yet. Yeah, we made a plan last night to have some high-end Chinese food during Formula One week.
So, like, I have, there's so much here. I don't want this to be depressing for anybody that may not, like, get to these doors. There are a lot of doors I will never have access to. It doesn't bother me.
Right. But that's what I'm saying.
Like,
it doesn't
there's so many levels of so Vegas that are great, right? Like, sometimes I used to just love to just walk on the strip from casino to casino and, like, play some slots, have some drink, like, walk around with one of those big hurricane drinks and just, and it's super fun, like, everything about it.
Like, my friend gets his own, like, Bellagio has their own, what's the rooms called when it's just, like, the
villa?
The villas?
Yeah.
Caesars has theirs. Mm-hmm. Wynn has theirs, where it's literally, like, you don't have your host, you have a whole staff of people there to just
see. The thing, the thing that's crazy to me is,
and I don't give a shit if I'm never going to get that. I'm okay. I like going to visit them,
right,
and enjoying all the perks. Like, they never even have to leave their room because there's casino tables
in their
room. You know,
I mean, the thing is, you guys are both East Coast kids. You didn't necessarily, maybe you did. You guys never had the experience of room at the Flamingo that 8 20 year olds are sleeping in on the floor. You guys have this,
of course.
You've seen that side of Vegas too, though.
Yeah,
but so to your point, though, some of those trips where you have no, you can't even get in the front door.
No, you gotta wait till 2 o'clock for the $5 table to open.
Some of those are the most fun trips you can have too.
Yeah.
And you don't care. You know the other tiers exist, but you gotta wait. You gotta gamble in the mid morning so that the table.
Just to be clear, I used to go to Connecticut casinos after my first class all the time.
That's amazing.
My first, I would say it's a genetic thing. You can say this. Asians have more of a
predilection
to gambling.
To math.
To math-based competitions.
Have gambling. I mean, a lot of people have gambling problems, but at least my family does. When I turned 18 years old, my dad sent me a limo from Valley's Casino. My brother's always said, dad gets cool when you get a little bit older. He sucks now, he'll get cooler when you get older. And he's like, hey, what are you doing? And it wasn't my birthday, but it was like, I was a freshman here in college. Yeah. And it was like, present. Picked me up from Hartford, took me to Valley's Casino, and my dad taught me how to gamble with money. Like, really gamble. God. Even, I wasn't 18. I was 21.
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking,
when I turned 21.
Literally in my head, I was thinking, is there a lower gambling age?
And, like, he taught me everything. And it was the first time in my life at that time that I actually had a moment where he wasn't Joe Chang, the fucking prick. He wasn't Joe Chang, you suck, why don't you play golf? He was like, you're my friend. This is how he has a good time.
He was I think we all have this recognition at some point. And for us who grew up with a certain perception, it's cool when finally you see, oh, my dad's a human being who likes things. Isn't that the whole revelation?
But it was also the gambling was the first time he knew that he could communicate in a language that I would also understand. So it was a commonality. First time ever.
Yeah.
Had you gambled before?
No.
No.
I mean, I played like 3-card poker and shit like that in high school. Right. But I never.
What table games did he teach you?
Blackjack.
Really?
Craps. Baccarat.
Yeah. That's amazing.
The BBC.
I didn't know I was going to get parenting advice on this podcast. Yeah. So like, I kind of feel like my son's about to turn 6, so in 15 years, it's perfect. Yeah.
I mean, I understand that gambling, there's a lot of people that, you know, abhor the thought that we're even doing this in a casino. I get it.
Yeah.
But for all the good that can happen here, there's equally the bad. Clearly. But like, for me, I can't explain it other than that. It brings me joy.
So
it brings me happiness.
Are you going to teach Hugo?
1,000 fucking percent.
Really? Interesting.
I think
one thing early on my dad did was taught.
I think in my dad's, one of my dad's side jobs was being a bookie, because his best friend was Jimmy the Greek. They called him Jimmy the Greek, huh? And they would always have a spreadsheet
of
everything.
Not the literal Jimmy the Greek.
They called him Jimmy the Greek because he owned a sub shop.
Got it. And his name was Jimmy.
Yeah.
Got it.
And there was Jimmy the Greek at CBS too, but
yeah,
that's all sort of why.
Yeah.
Anyway, I blocked a lot of that shit out, but like the one thing my dad would never let me do was sports bet. Mm. Ever.
Because he knew it was so bad. So you not
sports bet? Still to this day?
Yeah.
I've done it occasionally.
Right.
And sometimes there's a season I did when I bet the Pacers when Roy Hibbert was there and they were two up against Miami and I lost my fucking ass. But outside of that, I haven't really gambled. Oh, and I bet against Floyd Mayweather too many times. But outside of that, I don't sports book.
Right? Yeah. But it's interesting because this is not because real.
It's brainwashed in me. I can't do it.
This is not real parenting advice. Not real parenting advice. But there's something in that nugget, though, of when, if you're as a parent, you say, don't ever do X category of thing. Never gamble. Like, you create this taboo and this attraction to it.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, oh, you know what? Let's have drinks together. Let's go gambling together. But like, this is where my limit is.
Yeah.
And you show them like a more realistic side of how you actually look at it.
The reason I asked them is like, because I think a lot about with my son, right? Like how am I going to present gambling to them, right? It's clear that I'm not going to be able to be like, oh, don't gamble. That'd be the most hypocritical thing in the world. They know that, right? Like, so I have to figure out like, how do I present it in a way that's like social and fun, and it's more like, the reason I love craps is because it's social and it's fun. Like, you're playing at a table, right?
And so I love it because I'm anti-social.
And right. Anti-fun. And
like, anti-fun. Anti-anyone else's fun, right? So it's just like, it's one of those things that like, I think a lot about how I'm going to bring gambling to my kids.
You know, this is going to sound again crazy. That day when we went gambling in Atlantic City, we actually had a really proper lunch somewhere. First time I had turtle soup with Sherry. Mm.
They love turtle soup in here. Turtle soup. Turtle soup. Sherry.
Sherry. I was like one of those kids that would be like so mad. My don't smoke cigarettes. Don't smoke cigarettes. I can't believe you smoke cigarettes, Dad. We were gambling. People like to smoke cigarettes when they gamble. And he's like, I'm going to smoke. Don't give me a shit. And he's like, here, I know you smoke too.
Oh, fuck. Are you serious?
Yeah, and it sounds fucked up. You're having a father-son cigarette?
No, but see, I was actually, when we were talking about this, the first thing that came to mind was talking about something like smoking with your kids, right? Because my daughter knows smoking is bad. And she has asked point blank, have you ever smoked a cigarette? And I think that what would be worse, what would be way worse would just be deny, 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 and then for her to find out that you lied. You know? Would you rather say,
Who knew that at Hoops and Hops, we'd have a dad's episode?
I love it, man. I love it.
That's like real parenting, right? Like figuring out how to deal with all that other stuff. This is like the real stuff. Figuring out how to bring your kids in the world and like introduce them to vices that you know they're going to get introduced to.
Right.
But do it in a way that like they don't feel like they can't talk to you about it if they ever get into trouble.
Exactly.
Or you can't share it with them. Like, I mean, my son, like we will play video games together or do something like that. We'll play card games together. We'll take a break, and he calls it the milk and wine break, because he goes get milk and I go get wine, and he goes, Daddy, you can have a, you know, you like to have a glass of wine. So
I mean, I will say, so like my parents never once, I think from the time until I was 22, I never saw my parents have a sip of alcohol.
Yeah.
Never drank a single thing. And I will say, when I started drinking, like I went way, way overboard, because I was like, what is this thing you've been hiding from me this whole time? And I think there's something to be said for it. I don't know. Do you guys think, so we're here with, back on the sports thing. Chang, are you going to try to pass on your sports team alliances to the kids?
I don't give a fuck about, I went to a college where
But general no. teams. You don't care.
Until Daniel Snyder fucking sells the team. Fuck. No, every year I root for the worst team. That's going to be the worst team. So, no, I don't have an allegiance to right. anything.
Are you going to pass any sports allegiances on? Or are you going to try
I'm
to force
trying them? To. Yeah. My oldest, who is such a troll, that any team he sees me rooting for, he roots for the other team. He thinks yeah. it's hilarious. So it's
good,
like,
good boy.
Yeah. So it's just, it. I mean, I'm hoping that he doesn't end up liking the Bay Area teams where I live now and ends up liking the Boston teams where I grew up.
No.
I'm trying to, like,
don't hope for that.
So last year I had a big futures bet on the Celtics to win it all, right? And so I'm really, and I'm a Celtics fan also, so I'm, like, excited about it. I told him that I'd buy him a really good toy if the Celtics won the championship. I'm trying to bribe his fandom, right? And it just, it didn't take, right? And I feel like the Celtics losing was because I ruined the purity of that relationship by trying to bribe my son with toys. But he did every once in a while ask, did the Celtics win yet? And I'm like, well, they won a game, but they won yet.
Speaking of basketball, do we hang out in the NBA Finals?
Yes.
Oh, fuck.
Yes. It's that was the last time we saw each other.
That was last year. That? Oh, my That's God. We were trying to find a ride scooters.
Yeah, we were trying to get from the stadium or the arena to the St. Regis where all of our friends
by
were.
By the way, scooters from Chase Center, anywhere you need to go, is the only way to go.
No, but we were trying to download the app to ride the scooters.
I know, that's what we
did. Neither of us had ever done it before.
Oh, it's the best.
We couldn't get the app to work.
Yeah.
It was me, him, and another guy, and Chang was like, this is the best content in the world. How is no one filming this? Like, the two of us literally not being able to get these scooters to work,
yeah.
and neither of us ever having ridden one before.
And we're like pretty drunk.
And that's a 3 mile drive.
I know.
To say, I mean, it's not the safest thing.
But scooters from either there or I've taken scooters from the crypto arena, I think like that's the way to go. Although I will say this, as a big boy Asian, if you ride side by side with somebody else, your scooter will go noticeably slower than their scooter.
I got a funny story. I think you were there at the lounge, right? Somebody comes up to me and they're like, I'm just a huge fan. I love your chili crunch. I love your noodles. I love everything.
Chili crunch. Chili crunch.
And they were like super, super fucking like into it.
Uh-huh.
And it was so much so that I was like, whoa, shot a little startled. And I was like, oh, thank you very much. And we're great. And they're like, how the fuck do you know her? I'm like, who the fuck is she? That's coach's wife.
Oh, fuck. Kerr's wife.
Kerr's wife.
That's fucking amazing.
Thank you for all the support.
Sorry for
anyway, sorry. We got sidetracked. I was like, shit. I was like, that was a funny ass night.
You just blacked in.
Yeah.
That was a classic Blacken moment where you're like, wait a minute.
Is this a thing, Blacken, or is that your, I've never heard that.
Blacken is the, I was like telling someone this story because yesterday we were standing next to a crapless craps table. You ever played that?
No. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Crapless
Craps. They have one at the Palace Station.
They have one here, too. And they have one at, it's a new thing that they're doing. So they were talking to me about it. And I was like, oh, the last time I was at a Crapless Craps table, I blacked in at it. I blacked in and I'm at a table where there's no 2, 3, all, they're all numbers. And I'm like, where am I and what's going on? And I had a bunch of chocolate chips in front of me. So I was like,
chocolate chips are 25,000?
5,000. I mean, back in the day, 5,000. They're probably 25,000 now because of
inflation. Here's the thing is like, yesterday you kept on asking, am I going to gamble? And I couldn't really convey that I actually get a great deal of pleasure just watching people gamble. And the fact that you just like, nothing tickled me more than hearing you guys just talk about chocolate chips. It's 5,000.
Have you ever gambled with blocks?
Jesus. With who?
What?
Blocks, like the...
No. Is that fun?
I've seen it.
Oh, are those like the rectangular things? Like
$500,000 to $1 million.
Yeah.
You've seen people gamble these?
Oh, yeah.
Like things awesome. That you see in like James Bond shit.
I've seen it where it has to be called in on the size of the bet. Talk about secret
room.
I just want to see it.
I just want to feel near that danger.
One of the highlights of my life seeing this guy do this is fucking amazing.
It's crazy.
That's a lot of money.
Anyway,
so should we get into, you want to start getting, we started talking about this. You were talking about, when we talk about sports watching, you said you like to be at home because you can sit on your couch and eat.
Yeah, I mean, so here's the thing with this. Like, at one level, like, to his point, coming out for a big sporting event with your boys to, like, Vegas and the whole thing, that's amazing, right? And to be in an experience like this is amazing. But if it's just, like, at home, yeah, I want to eat good food. I want to drink good wine. Like, I want to be in that world.
Interesting. Are you what do you mean when you say good food when you're eating, watching sports? Anything. It's just anything.
I mean, I just want food I know, like, I can, yeah, like, things I cook or what. I mean, I don't know, like, I...
But you're not eating, are you eating the prototypical bar, like, sports bar food at home? You're not ordering chicken wings and fries?
No.
No, never.
No, never, right? That's got to, you got to go out for this.
No. Never. I mean, like, I sit down for a big bowl of dumplings and, like, watch some food.
Is this an underrated thing he's describing? Wine and dumplings watching sports? Is that maybe?
He's 50 years old. He's distinguished. Yeah.
And it's also, like, we talk about this one question we ask every guest that's on our podcast, and it's, what's the most unrelatable food that you like? Like, what? And it's, like, a great question because it makes people think about what it means to be unrelatable. Like, what is the most unrelatable food you like? Because it all came from someone asking us on our podcast what we like to eat when we watch sports. And I like to sit and drink wine and eat truffle potato chips, right? And my buddy that I do the podcast with eats smoked mussels out of a can. And then someone on Twitter said, these are the two least relatable humans in the world because of what they eat, you know, when they watch sports. So, you know, what's the
when
least
I watch
relatable
sports?
Food that you eat when you watch sports?
I don't know if there's anything unrelatable. I mean, eating a can of smoked mussels and Escabeche sauce is fucking weird. That's not unrelatable. That's just fucking weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
I mean, your friend's a psychopath.
Just crack open. But is it like, is it just, he likes tinned seafood generally and it just happens to be something? Or is it just, ooh, it's game time?
He's an odd human. He'll be the first to admit that he's an odd human. And that's just one example of it.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, for me, there's nothing. What I want are fried chicken stuff. You know?
Yeah. I'm gonna make you guys so angry at me, and I might get kicked off this podcast, but I like breaded chicken wings. I like fried breaded chicken. I really do. I think that they're delicious.
You spent too much time in the fucking San Francisco area.
Probably.
All right, should we get into the bracket? Should we do the business we're here for?
There's so many more topics to talk about.
We're going to get into a bunch. We still got a bunch of time. We can get, I think it's time. So Chang and I set this up in the last episode. 64.
Well, actually, a good podcast, like, just note, we should talk about these doors in any facet of culture. How many doors are there that you don't know about?
Yeah. Because there are doors everywhere.
Oh, everywhere.
Everywhere there
Chinese
are
eating Chinese food here in this town, fucking doors upon doors upon doors.
I mean, well, the archetypal door is the Chinese restaurant menu.
No.
Yes.
No, the ultimate door is, I'm coming. Somebody from the casino that only deals with whales. On average, I think that a whale is someone that bets $500,000 line of credit. There's only like one per week now, I think. That's a little old data. It used to be a lot more, especially pre-COVID. But when you have people that are, you know, you're trying to get businesses against all the casinos around the world. So you offer rebates, buybacks, and buyback is if you lose money, you get a discount, things like this. But you have to like increase the perks. The ultimate fucking Chinese food, and I know this, is okay, but you need to fly in this chef from this restaurant.
Get out of here. No.
Facts.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, this is a door I am actually pissed to not be able to walk through. I'm so mad about that.
But that's how some of these chefs got restaurants.
That's
here.
How they got stuck here.
Yeah.
They come here.
They couldn't go back.
They couldn't go back.
They flew simultaneously.
Could you describe it as, that's how some of these chefs got restaurants here. Dave simultaneously said, that's how some of these chefs got stuck here.
No, it's stuck in like they didn't want to leave. Like, the Cantonese food here is fucking unreal. And most people will never taste how good that Cantonese food is. This episode is brought to you by Vital Farms. No matter how you like your eggs scrambled, over easy, or sunny side up, the people at Vital Farms believe in one thing: keeping it bullshit free. That's why their pasture raised eggs come from hens who each have over 108 square feet of space to roam and forage all year round. So you can spend less time questioning your food and more time enjoying it. Look for Vital Farms in your grocery store and learn more at vitalfarms.com. Vital Farms, keeping it bullshit free.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
2023 Dave Chang Show at the Cosmopolitan Las Vegas Bar Food Tournament of Champions. I think we're just going to go matchup by matchup. Try to go quickly, at least in the beginning.
Our bracket got fucked up. Princeton beat goddamn Arizona. We're done. We're out of here.
What's the equivalent of this, though?
We're going to find out. Trust me, we're going to have some upsets.
Well, all right.
We're going to start in the fried region. We're gonna discuss. I think the rules, if we all agree,
I think we got the rules. He went to MIT. We're good.
But we should just. It's just gonna be a straight up and down vote, right? Each one of us is gonna place a vote for one of these. Whoever has the most is gonna move on. Fried region, first matchup.
The things we're in agreement. We all know fried chicken.
We should do it for the audience. There's people.
No, fuck the audience.
Fried chicken in the one seed. Fried pickles in the 16 seed. Fried chicken. Fried chicken's gonna move on. Can I get a fried chicken? In the
all the sensitive fried pickle people pissed off right now.
In the 8-9 matchup, we've got jalapeno poppers in the 8 slot, taquitos in the 9 slot. This is a close matchup, I feel.
That's why it's an 8-9. I'm gonna say taquitos.
Poppers. Right. It's gotta. You wanna say anything else for taquitos here?
You're not gonna sway me, so no.
It's fine.
All right.
This is like the Murdoch.
Poppers, please. Let me get some poppers. As our production gets the poppers going, in a 5-12 matchup, we've got chaat. How much chaat have you eaten in your day?
Not a ton.
Indian snacks, a lot of fried, delicious stuff within the chaat.
You got samosas and everything.
Samosas, pav bhaji, all the stuff that you want to eat. Pakora versus egg rolls as a 12 seed.
Chaat
for me.
I mean, I personally want to do egg rolls, but the sheer diversity of chaat has to win.
It's kind of like not fair, though, right? It's like egg rolls is a one-trick pony.
It's true.
The chaat's like a bunch of different stuff.
Isn't that just like basketball, though? Like you have teams who can do a lot.
If you said chaat, it doesn't matter what I say.
What I'm trying to say is you want to do chaat because you don't want to piss off like 1.5 billion people.
Chicken wings versus the fried fish world. Now, this includes fish and chips and fried anchovies, little chips. Things like that.
Chicken wings. I don't know how chicken wings got such a poor seed.
Talk to this guy. They were a one seed originally.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a two seed, right?
They're a four seed because you moved some other ones in front of it. In the 6-12, in the 6-11.
It lost a lot. It lost a couple games before the regular season end. All
right. That's right. Empanadas versus croquettes and fritters. Potato croquettes.
Empanadas for sure.
All right. Empanadas.
Fritter makes me feel like I'm at like a bad wedding where they're passing those things out to me. I was like, what is this thing?
I think it's another pretty easy one. In the three seed, we've got nachos, queso versus fried vegetables.
Yeah,
queso. This is John Jones versus...
All right, maybe it's John Jones, but is there a fried vegetable that you were fond of?
I just choked out Gane. Put fucking
all right, queso. On. All right, 7-10 seed onion rings.
What about like fried Brussels leaves? That's a pretty good.
I like a little. Yeah. I like a fried cauliflower.
No,
battered cauliflower.
I'm not even a fan of nachos, but there's no way.
All right, onion rings in the 7 seed versus 10 seed, the fried calamari, shrimp, clams world.
Onion rings.
Yeah.
Onion rings are delicious.
You're going calamari, aren't you?
I'm a calamari
loser.
Yeah. Onion rings, please. I'm going to be honest here. We're being a little predictable because Noelle, who's standing over here, has been ready to hand me the winner every single time.
Because she knows.
We haven't surprised her yet. All right. two-seed mozzarella sticks in 15. Are you familiar with this? In Australia, every bar has a chicken parm. And that's their sort of
national
pub food.
Can I be honest? I spent a lot of time in bars.
You don't agree with me with this, but
I spent a lot of time in bars. I spent a lot of time. My downstairs where I lived was the sports book betting bar. I never saw a chicken parm.
It is there. You have to trust me on this. But are they going to upset mozzarella sticks?
No way.
No. Mozzarella sticks. All right. So that's the first round in the fried region. I don't think there are any upsets.
No real upsets.
No upsets. Moving down into the mostly raw, cured section. Our one seed is sausages and hot dogs. Our 16 seed is crudité. We'll move those sausages on.
That's
to the
a
next
D3
round.
School, man. Get that shit out of here.
I'm surprised they even made the tournament.
Yeah.
Crudité really belongs to the NIT.
That was a weak-ass conference.
That's an NIT team. All right, so I need sausages and hot dogs. So the matchup in the 8-9 seed is pickles versus oysters.
I don't want to eat either.
You got to pick one.
I mean, pickles probably. Oysters is like a weird thing to eat at a sports, like at a sport.
Fried oysters.
Fried oysters.
Pickles. Pickles.
Okay. Pickles, please.
And also, Gabby,
you know, pickles is like Iona College.
Coached by Rick Pitino now. Yeah. You're like, pickles could be really having a big comeback.
Five is guacamole against 12 cheese curds.
It will piss off a lot of fucking people from Wisconsin.
Ooh. Is that a little moan of making his heart?
I love guacamole, but I kind of feel like cheese curds are sneaky good. I think they are. They're sneaky good.
I don't give a shit about cheese curds.
I got to pick a few upsets.
Guacamole is eaten
you cannot
way
upset
more,
guacamole.
Way more than cheese curds.
You can't. I agree
but
with you.
I'm saying, like,
I know fried cheese curds, like, it's great.
All right.
I hear you, but it's
there
not.
There's some really shitty guacamole that you'll get where you're just like, this basically barely tastes like.
But cheese curds can be bad too. Like a lukewarm to room temp mozzarella stick is still good.
Is the floor lower for cheese curds or guacamole?
Cheese curds have to hit like 70% of the shots. Cheese curds have to be like Villanova versus Georgetown in 1984.
Not
they have to play a perfect game. Almost a perfect game for it to beat guacamole. I'm right. Not saying it's not possible.
Right. And guacamole can have a pretty bad game and still win.
You know?
Fair.
All right, guacamole.
Cheese curds have
on.
To play a perfect game.
In the 4 seed, we've got cured meat. The 13 seed is a Southeast Asian nod, nam prick, and like relishes that are made with like spicy relishes you eat with vegetables and things. I'm going to give my vote to that one.
I'm going cured meat.
Me too, cured meat.
Cured meat it is.
I love non brick.
Like, can
right?
I get an Iberico ham?
Yeah.
As like Iberico ham.
I'll just,
all right, Iberico ham.
Mortadella, please.
Sashimi in the 6th seed, olives in the 11th seed.
Olives. Bar.
Again, it's like a bar. It's like weird to eat sashimi.
Okay, not here though, if you were in like an izakaya.
Izakaya with a TV watching sports?
Yeah.
I'll take sashimi, sure.
I'm still going olives.
I'm going sashimi on this one.
Oh.
Wow.
No, it's woo! Sashimi. You handed me the wrong one. Noelle is shocked over there. All right, 3 seed cheese, 14 seed, the quintessential tapas, Gilda Pincho. Are you familiar with this one? Toothpick skewer.
It's a very famous pincho in Spain. It's olive, pepper, and anchovy. Bar, like the best bar food.
This is my Christian, go
it's
that,
the Christian Leitner of bar food.
This all is right, a 14-3. I'm a 14 on this. I'm Gilda Pincho.
I'm going to Pincho.
That's a big upset. Over cheese. We just eliminated the whole category of cheese. Just
you have plenty of cheese everywhere.
Gilda Pincho.
Not so much cheese.
Upset City. Tinned and cured fish. People fucking love tin cured fish in here. Versus chips and salsa. tendon cured seafood, let's say, including your friend's beloved mussels, against caviar.
Two teams that I don't know how they made the tournament.
Yeah. I'm going to go with caviar just because, like, you can put caviar on something that just makes it feel more boring.
I might be a tinned seafood guy, which gives the vote to you.
His weirdo friend, the psychopath, inspired me. Tin seafood.
Tin fish over caviar.
At least we have a story of somebody actually wanting to eat something tinned while watching sports.
Well, there's this one guy that does it, and he's like one of the best professional bettors in the world. Yeah. So
that's the end of our second region. A couple upsets there. Over to the sort of grilled, baked, sautéed region.
I think it's a group of death, to be honest with you.
I'm scared to say soft pretzels because I feel like there's going to be some agent that's going to come take me away for being a communist, right?
Fried potatoes in the one seed. Whole world of fried potatoes.
Fried potatoes.
This is not what you told me last night. You said you were going to stand up for soft pretzels.
No, I was kidding. I never said that.
Fried potatoes, please. In the 8-9 matchup, yakitori versus kebabs.
It's a real good 8-9 matchup.
I'm going to say kebabs.
Kebabs also I want to include within, like, kebabs and kebabs.
Shawarma and stuff.
Yeah.
Kebabs.
All right. Kebabs. I'm a yakitori man, but these guys both said kebabs.
You're just tired of Glendale.
I'm just tired of Glendale, man. In the 5-12 matchup, number 5 is rib. This is the pork on pork matchup. Riblets in the 12 seed, Bosam.
I gotta say Bosam around this crowd.
I don't know.
But what is he saying when he says Bosam? What kind of Bosam are you talking about?
Both styles, all pork.
Yeah.
You're talking about Chang style Bosam, or are you talking about
both?
That's the Bosam I live and love.
Yeah, so. Both. Okay. People eat that in sports all the time.
Okay. So Bosam over riblets? I'm Bosam over Riblets.
I think Bosam. We sell a shit ton during sporting.
Riblets is like it's a weird part of the pig that I have no idea what part of the pig it is.
That's in the little ribs.
But they're riblets. Like, what does that even mean?
Riblet is actually, is it the spare rib?
I don't know.
This is the unrelatable matchup. This is like all our people from England and Europe.
The 4-13 matchup is meat pies versus scotch egg. It's got to be meat
all
pies.
Day long.
Meat pies.
I'll take a pasty all day long.
Poutine is a 6 seed.
Whoa.
Gyoza and dumplings is an 11 seed.
Gyoza and dumplings. It's because I'm not. Yeah, gyoza and dumplings for me.
Asian people don't hate me. Poutine.
Oh, shit, dude. Explain the appeal of poutine.
Gravy and French fries. This is where you get cheese curds.
This is the only place they can survive.
So, like, explain to me this. Like, you're very big on food texture, right? Doesn't, like, the poutine and the gravy kill the texture of crispy fries?
No. You want soggy crispy. It's a little bit like General Tso's chicken. Don't you like soggy crispy?
I like the crispy pieces the best, though.
To each his own. I'm personally voting. The deciding... Oh, okay.
Yes.
Gyoza dumplings for me. I'm coming with you, Jeff.
Hey, Quebec, I tried.
Quesadillas in the 3 seed. Thai Gaiyang grilled chicken in the 14.
Totally underseeded.
I literally just had breakfast quesadilla.
Yeah, underseeded.
What was in those breakfast quesadillas? Just egg with cheese?
I needed something in my stomach to absorb
Egg and some meat product.
Yeah.
Potato skins as potato a 7 skin. Seed. Potato crawfish skins. Boiled 10. It's a potato skin runaway.
Potato skins don't make the tournament every year. But when they do, they go deep.
Who are they? What does that mean? Who are they?
I don't know. I mean, yeah.
Who doesn't show up every time?
They're like Syracuse.
They're like Syracuse.
But sometimes they have a fabulous freshman named Carmelo Anthony on playing on the team, and they fucking go all the way.
The 2-15 matchup, we've got Sliders and Schweinshaxe, which is a crispy fried German pork hock. I feel like Sliders is pretty obvious here.
Although some of these things that you guys are introducing me that I never knew, I want to eat. So I would vote for them.
So to that point, I feel like these are all good teams. You want to have a Shrine Shaksa at some point in your life.
I'm going pork hock.
You're going pork hock?
Yeah.
Could this be a 15-2?
Going pork hock.
You're Slider Man. Because you haven't had the Shrine Shaksa.
I have to be loyal to sliders.
I already have the slider in my hand, but I've eaten both of these.
But I just think
things.
About, like, if I were at a restaurant and they're like, you can have the sliders or this weird thing that you've never tried before,
that's
but it's
really
good.
That's what
I'm
trying to say.
So I would
that's
probably go
that's
to
how
sliders.
I've been deciding it internally.
Yeah.
You know what? Here's how I'm deciding it. If right now somebody came up to me with a plate of sliders or a crispy pork hock, I would eat that crispy pork hock.
Right. You guys haven't been making that decision like that?
I need the Shrine Shaksa.
Man, I think we need to redo this whole thing.
We just had a 15 over 2 upset. This is the mostly packaged region. The one seed in this region is pizza flatbread against the 16 seed dried seafood, your dried squids and things like that. Anybody want to try to fight?
I'm going dried squid.
I'm going pizza flatbread.
Are you just being contrarian?
I like watching the Korean. Koreans eat the shit out of it. But no, it's like...
With beer and dried squid?
Well, more bar food. I feel dried seafood is more bar food to me than pizza. Pizza's my favorite, arguably my favorite food. So all you pizza fuckers... Get the,
all shut you the pizza fuck fuckers! Can you...
Well, so here's the thing. Like, there's a bar... In the Bay Area, right, in Marin where I live,
yeah.
That is elevated bar food and great TVs. And they have some of the best pizza in Marin, which is not saying much because the food where I live sucks. But I love pizza. I just could never vote against pizza.
That might have been your most unrelatable take.
It's fine. I like pizza.
I'm considering what you're saying as a bar food.
Bar food that you want to eat. Listen. The last time I saw, when I was last in New York, we saw the Tampa Bay versus Dallas game, the Monday night where Tampa Bay got blown out. Saw that in a bar in the Bowery, and we got pizza, and it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I love pizza, and I don't want these motherfuckers from St. Louis being like, and I don't want these motherfuckers from Chicago being like, you didn't get the tavern pizza. Shut the fuck up. I'm not saying that it's not delicious at all. I'm simply saying, Koreans eat dried squid.
Chinese love dried squid too. Is this insane?
It happens.
I mean, this is like, you know, Virginia losing. Virginia lost, right? I'm still looking with pizza. I don't care if it's unrelatable to like pizza, which clearly it shouldn't be. Uh-oh, this is very dramatic. What is he going to choose? It's very dramatic. What is he going to choose?
Yes!
It's the 16 over 1 upset. It's the 16 over... This is insane.
I want to take my name off of this podcast.
8-9 matchup. Nuts, the whole category of nuts.
Yeah.
From unshelled peanuts to...
Nuts.
Mixed crunchies.
Nuts.
Chex Mix. Mixed crunchies. Nuts.
Nuts.
These right, crunchies nuts. Are the shit you eat when you're at, like, the St. Regis bar. Yeah, where yeah, they're like, yeah. Do you have something to eat
wasabi
for
peas and yeah. Shit. No.
512, spinach artichoke dip in the 5 seed. The 12 seed is cheese puffs and crackers.
Artichoke dip.
Artichoke dip. Everything.
Artichoke dip is delicious.
Come on, artichoke dip is the winner.
And you don't even need to talk about what the receptacle is.
Again,
for,
like,
right?
What do you want to eat? You know, either or, right? I'm not choosing cheese puffs with artichoke dip. It's just not.
This makes it very clear. If there are two plates in front of me, I'm never taking cheese puffs over artichoke dip.
And which is
dip.
Why I'm trying to say I legitimately would take dried seafood over pizza.
The 4 seed is the world of meatballs. 13 seed is corn nuts.
Corn nuts.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
I'm going back to this whole thing. Like, I'm in a sports bar. What do I want? I'm not ordering. Like, you got to use a fucking
meatballs
fork and
are
knife
not,
to eat them.
Listen, I don't think meatballs are bar food, but people say it is. It's a shitty bar food.
No,
a little
I
toothpick.
Agree.
Meatballs are
a
NIT.
Frilly toothpick.
Get that shit out of here.
Meatballs are like back-to-back-to-back NIT champions, though. Let's be honest here. All right. In the 6-11, we've got corn dogs and kushiyage, fried battered meat against popcorn.
It's a hard one, dude.
It's hard.
Because popcorn is such a great snack to eat.
But fried like shit on a stick?
I know. But you know, like, when you're like, have eaten as much as you want to eat, but you want to eat a popcorn. Little bit more, you eat popcorn. Just because you want something salty in your mouth.
But I'm going to go to Chang's point in a recent episode, the popcorn has to be, like, out of the little popper machine.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Sure. Bar usually always has that.
And they're great.
I'm a fried meat
not only that, like, listen, if they had a popcorn machine here,
I'd be watching the game right now.
We're starting that before I get the beer. It's probably going to be refilled 4 to 5 times. And after we've eaten, we're still going to get another bowl of popcorn.
Absolutely. I'm popcorn.
But if you could only have one.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Popcorn.
Popcorn.
Popcorn it is.
That's an upset.
That's an upset.
This one is the hardest one.
This region's going to be like, how did that team make these?
Four lines and scratchings in the UK.
I don't even know. What is this ranking?
Pork rinds are a 3 seed.
I go pork rinds.
And jerky is a 14
pork
seed.
I go pork rinds.
How did jerky get so low? It must have lost a lot of games.
It's clear for Jeff that pork rinds here.
Pork rinds.
This is like dividing a baby in half. I don't know. Listen, my call sign in Top Gun is pork rum.
Here's my thinking here. I don't think that, for me, jerky, you have a lot of stories of going to bars and eating jerky.
So much jerky.
I have less experience eating jerky in bars. I think I'm a pork rind.
I'm a jerky.
All right, pork rinds.
That's bullshit.
7 seed, 10 seed, sausage rolls against rice puffs and crackers.
I'm going sausage roll.
Yeah, sausage roll for me too.
It's very Aussie. I mean, we had meat pies winning.
We're trying to be more woke around representation.
We're trying to be more woke. And down in the 2-15 matchup, potato chips and crisps in the 2 seed, 15 crunchy pretzels.
What's a crunch? Oh. Just shitty like pretzels.
Regular, shitty regular pretzels. Pretzels. Shitty pretzels.
I'm going to go chips and crisps.
Chips and crisps.
Oh, and if you say crisps, that includes French fries, right?
No.
No, that's fried potatoes.
Oh, got it.
All right. That's the first round completed.
Okay, guys. That's it for part one of our first ever on-location podcast at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas, doing hoops and hops. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to the Cosmo for hosting us. It was insane in there. I'm not sure how many people... even knew what the hell was happening with the basketball game and us recording. But if you want to hear the epic conclusion to the Bar Food Tournament of Champions, the definitive Tournament of Champions about bar food, tune in on Thursday for part 2. Give us 5 stars.